He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing okay. I want to just kind of refresh our audience, but also tell you the situation that we're dealing with at home. Chase is going on day three of having a fever, and there's nothing really else going on. No ear infections, no strep throat, no RSV, no COVID, nothing. He's been tested for everything, and everything is negative. He's just got this fever. It's lingering around. He rides between 100 and 103, yeah. And we're just sort of rotating the Tylenol and the Motrin. That's all we can really do. And we're sort of riding this out. His doctors are like, it could be a virus. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, both my nephews had the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And I also learned of another friend of mine who, her son, same thing. Now, a couple things about this. What is it? Have you heard of this new virus before? But also, why aren't adults getting it? Like, none of the adults seem to be getting it. It's mostly kids.
Sure. So as we talked about before, I'm going to even take a step back from there. When we talked about this before, when we're talking about infectious diseases, we talk about bacterial infections. We've talked about fungal infections. We've talked a little bit about parasitic infections, and we've talked about viral infections. We've talked a lot about viral infections, and I think people, as we've talked about before, are a little bit more alert of these types of infections that do occur. So let me tell you sort of what it may be.
Okay.
I think it's important when you do evaluate a patient, in particular your son, when you evaluate a patient, you're going to rule out those possibilities. And the first thing that we want to make sure is we want to rule out a bacterial infection, because we know if it hits a bacterial infection, we know that we can treat it with antibiotics. And that's probably the much more common than you'd see for a fungal or a parasitic infection.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's the first thing to do. So seeing the physician and going ahead and doing some evaluation, that can give you an idea, is this bacterial or not? And then doing the workup and finding nothing usually leads to a viral. Now, what we've done in the past is that viral infections have been, if it's not bacterial, it's viral. There's not really a great treatment for viruses except, a few. Like, there's a treatment for COVID. There's a treatment for flu. But otherwise, the treatment's pretty limited for everything else. So it's really symptomatic treatment. So treating an illness just based on the symptoms that occur. And that's sort of what it sounds like here. So let me tell you that everything is cyclical in the world, including viruses. And that you see ups and downs, and you see certain seasons of certain types of infections. And I can tell you that this type of infection, and again, this would be an estimated guess, obviously, would be sort of our professional guess, is that it's probably fits into the category of an enterovirus.
What is that?
Enteroviruses have it. In fact, you kind of gave it away when you said that your nephews, right? Your nephews
right.
had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So usually a couple weeks after that, it's usually they're obviously going to feel unwell, a high spiking fever, and it actually occurs in early summer. This is very common. This actually occurs quite a bit, and we probably haven't seen it in a while, but it's definitely occurring. And it affects children. And in particular, children will get high spiking fevers. Nothing else will be fine, and it'll go away. So it is something an enterovirus. Sometimes it fits into a category of Coxsackie virus, and we can see
yes,
certain types.
Yes, because that
of
was one of the things that they were going to look at, but Chase doesn't have that either. No.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And listen, it's interesting because for all the named viruses that we would have, there are thousands of unnamed viruses. Not that they don't have names. When I say an enterovirus is a whole family of different viruses.
Right, that's like a category of viruses.
Exactly,
yeah,
and it has Coxsackie in it, but it has so many other things that can actually be caused by an enterovirus.
Gosh, why is it so simple? It's so easy.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's I didn't know this myself. Gosh.
There's an entire world of microbes that we know about, and of just the amount of effort to determine exactly what it is, by the time you get an answer, it'll be gone. And that's, yeah, sort of, that's sort of what we see.
That's insane. That's crazy. Yes. So, I mean, but are we doing the right thing with just the over-the-counter medication? Because one of my concerns, Dr. Brown, is something you and I also have talked a lot about, which is over-medication. But with fevers, that makes me nervous. I don't like, you know, having a fever for a long time. And, I mean, he's been lucky if he has these little breaks for maybe an hour being at 99, which is also nothing to, you know, write home about. So I feel like we have to keep him on around the clock, Motrin and Tylenol. But is there such thing as too much of that in this situation?
So it's sort of it is a catch-22. So the first thing is that, you know, there's a reason why we have fevers. So what happens
is
that...
Because I don't like those either.
this is really interesting. And again, this is why it's a catch-22. The reason why we have fevers is certain viruses in particular, and that's what we're activating when we activate this. The viruses activate our system to increase our body temperature. The viruses live at a certain temperature. If we increase our body to a higher temperature than 98.6, and it has to be greater than 99 too, but if we increase our body temperature greater than that, it actually kills the virus. The virus cannot replicate, cannot grow in a warmer environment. That's why our body is actually, evolution has naturally made it a response to infection that we actually have a higher temperature. That temperature actually kills bacteria, it kills viruses, probably not fungi, but I mean, that's our response, and probably is most effective in viruses because viruses replicate at a certain temperature. So that's why it's a catch-22.
Right, because, you know, that part is good, but the other part is you don't want to overheat. And
but if it gets too hot, if they have too much of fever, you know, then that can actually be, you know, that can actually cause other issues. As you know, it can cause. I mean, at the very worst, it can't even cause a seizure. So you obviously need to be really careful about that. So we do suppress these because we know that the virus has to take its course. You probably, the first few days of having a fever, you know, before you even treat it, have already probably killed the virus, and now it's just running its course throughout the body. So you have to be careful about that. But yeah, I mean, listen, you want to be careful that you follow the instructions on the bottle. You know, taking too much Tylenol is not a good thing for your liver, and can be very damaging. And the same with ibuprofen can be damaging to the kidneys. So you need to just be careful about using it. I would, you know, it's not certain medications, and people will kind of get this confusion about this. Certain medications, it doesn't matter if you take more, because at some point it gets to a peak level in your blood. So it doesn't really matter if you take more, because it's still going to be at a peak level in your blood. All you're doing is making it more toxic. So you just need to be careful about Tylenol. And again, what you'll do is you'll actually look at Chase's his weight, and then you say, okay, this is the amount that he could take, and that's that. And that's the same with adults. Again, Tylenol can be very damaging, and I've seen it multiple times in my career where people drink a bottle of Tylenol as an attempt to suicide, thinking, well, you know, it may not kill them. It actually will eliminate their liver, and their liver, like, basically they go into liver failure. So that's something that we're really careful about.
Dr. Brown is here, and we were talking about what Chase and his cousins and some other children I've heard about, what they have with these ongoing fevers. So we've kind of come to the conclusion of what that probably is. But we were just starting to talk about over-medicating and even something like Tylenol and Motrin. And just so you know, Dr. Brown, I follow the directions. I listen to the pediatrician. I look at the bottle, all of that. And I'm not someone who just gives it to my son because he's uncomfortable. So I feel good about that. But you know what I've noticed? I started doing this morning routine when I come in, and I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I watch I'll watch some of the ABC network news and, you know, and just see what's going on in the world. And I have noticed, I don't know if it's just an overnight thing, that about 75% of the commercials that air on regular channels that anyone can get, cable, YouTube TV, whatever it is, they're medications. And I feel like we are living in a time where medication is just the answer for everything. It's like, here's a medication for this. You want to lose weight? Here's a medication for this. You have allergies? Here's another medication for this. And we're not talking over-the-counter medications. We're talking, these are prescription medications. So I was curious, Dr. Brown, how you feel about the change. Maybe it hasn't changed. Maybe we're just more aware of it. But to me, the change in how open we are to prescribing medication to people.
Right. And I think we, you know, listen, there's always a balance between public knowledge of certain medications and using the physician as a, you know, as a vehicle to make sure that you're getting the right medication. You know, I think having it out there and educating is good. The problem is that a lot of the advertisements aren't really education. And they, even though they have very strict guidelines on how they can advertise, and you can see that those who don't end up getting very hefty fines, the problem is that people just don't understand that these medications come with side effects like everything else does. You know, and what is that side effect? What is that, you know, what is that longer term action? If you continue to use something, you know, something as simple as a decongestant, at one point it's not going to work anymore. Same with some allergens. You know, anti-allergy medication, sometimes it's not going to work. There's the concerns about overdosing on certain medications. Then they've gotten really specific on what they're actually advertising. I mean, I've seen advertisements for, you know, a certain type of you know, cancer treatment. And it's interesting because it's such a small number that actually have that or have that type that can get that. But it sort of brings off this little bit of, and I'll go ahead and say just my opinion, a little bit of false advertising to say, oh, well, you know what, here's the treatment for that. You know, I think we've talked a lot about balance. We talk about, you know, making sure that you're eating right, you're exercising, you know, and you're getting outside when there's not a, you know, bunch of smoke from Canada. So, I mean, that's still the most important thing to do, and people need to not rely necessarily on the medications. The medications are there to support, but ultimately it's about how can you do this without that type of support.
Some people believe Dr. Brown, especially because we saw the COVID vaccine come to fruition so quickly. Mm-hmm. So many people sometimes see that medications are not actually vetted before they're administered the way that they should. Do you agree with that? Do you think that we're seeing medications get the green light before they're vetted properly? Or do you think we really haven't seen a shift in that? It's just that we're so hyper-focused on a couple of big headlines that now the narrative has changed.
I think it's interesting because I actually think the opposite. And if you're ever in the, if you ever have a medication or you're aware of a medication that's sort of in the track to be approved, you'd be amazed at what's actually there that could be really helpful to my patients and actually to humanity. And it takes a long time for these medications to get there, to make sure that they're, you know, they're animal tested to make sure that they're safe. They're then tested on healthy volunteers to make sure that they're safe. You know, they have to be effective, and then they get approval. It takes a very long time for those medications to get approved. So I don't necessarily feel that way. I know people were always concerned about the COVID vaccine, and I will tell you to this point, you know, the whole reason why we are where we are with COVID is because of these vaccines. And I think given, you know, there anything that I think the key point would be is that anything that you take into your body has some sort of risk, you know, and it's just a matter of what point, you know, what kind of risk is it? You know, it's a very low risk with the vaccine that you're going to have complications and side effects, but there's always a risk. And I think people just need to understand that. So I don't think it was done quickly, but I think the bureaucracy was taken out of it. And I think that's what's really important. Now, it's also important to know that once you have a medication, medication that's actually in the market, there is very robust monitoring of it. And as you heard, the J&J vaccine has actually been taken off the market. And I think that's just – people don't
when
really
was
hear
that?
About that.
Wait, I don't think that I did hear
just,
about that.
Yeah, just last – I just read it. It was last week that J&J is no longer an alternative to the mRNA vaccines.
Wow.
There's only one. So, yeah.
That's kind of a little too late. Oh.
Yeah. No one was really using it, but they took it off because, you know, it wasn't – they didn't feel that it was appropriate to, or they didn't feel that it was, you know,
up to the
really
standard.
Up to the standard of the other three vaccines that
but
are out there.
But then that kind of makes people get all nervous, Dr. Brown. Like, how could we figure that out 3 years later that it's like, you know what, this one shouldn't have gotten the stamp of approval? I mean, millions of people did get that vaccine.
Right. But, and listen, I don't think that the people who ended up getting it have anything to worry about. You know, there was. They found that there was some complications associated with it. The effectiveness wasn't as high as the mRNA vaccines. And there is another vaccine called Novavax that's actually out there that is a non-mRNA vaccine, so as the alternative. So there are actually vaccines that are out there, but it's not necessarily. So again, in my world, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's a good thing, and it means that we're watching and monitoring and saying, listen, it's not as good as the other ones are. So why are we continuing to even support it? And that's where it is. Not that it's bad, and not that it's harming people. It's just not as effective. And it does. And again, everything has complications as well as that. So again, I don't think it's oops, we made a mistake. It's more of this just is not as effective. Why do we continue to support this? And nobody was really using it anyways.
Got it. All right. Well, Dr. Brown, I appreciate you talking to us about these really important topics, and I definitely feel better about Chase personally. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And adults can get this, by the way. Usually
oh,
younger
thanks for
adults.
Bearing the lead. Oh, okay, cool.
sorry
so
about
I'm not
that.
Out of the clear? Okay, good to know.
So heads up.
Great.
Usually younger adults are at risk, but most older adults can get viruses, but children are much more likely to get this type of virus.
Cool. All of a sudden I'm feeling a little warm, but okay. That's good to know. Great. Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Appreciate
you. You're welcome.
Dr. Brown of Griffin Health here on WICC. No, seriously, I'm feeling a little warm now. Oh, boy. All right.